From my apartment I look out onto a long street that slopes steeply down from the forecourt, which is lined on both sides by a row of houses that stand quite high above the street. The street itself has a 3 to 5 meter high retaining wall on both sides, between which and the houses there are lovely little gardens, which cannot be seen from the street. The small houses on both sides of the street are on a long, drawn-out elevation. They have a uniform appearance, one is like the other. The end of the two rows is connected to this enormous rock building. In fact, this building marks the end of this spiritual level. On the other side you can also see places that the high angels can enter. But for us, who are allowed to live in the big house, and for all the residents of these houses to the right and left, there is no access to that other level. We have absolutely no way of satisfying our interest in what is happening behind our rock house. But we were told that behind it, that is, on the back of this enormous rock, there is other life and other spirit brothers and sisters live there. The street on our side, which initially leads steeply down, stretches far into the wonderfully bright distance, where other spirit brothers and sisters live. Our enormous building is partly inhabited by deceased people who earn their place in heaven during their lives. But angelic beings also come and go. They have a lot to do, they are always busy. Sometimes you see them walking down the street and then suddenly disappearing when they step into another plane. On the large square, magnificent horses with beautiful carriages also stop now and then. They pick up the most distinguished residents and then disappear again with them as if in flight. It is indescribable what splendors there are to see there. The gardens are full of flowers, large and small. But what gives the whole area a magnificent feel are the huge trees, the trunks of which alone are as high as the tallest poplar you have ever seen. Like palm trees, the leaves all start from the trunk. They form a huge crown in which the end of the trunk disappears. The leaves all point upwards. They form the shape of a huge cup. However, there is always a gentle breeze and the leaves sway gently. The scale, the size, is hard to explain in a way that you can understand. With you humans, on the other hand, I find everything very small. Your trees and flowers are so tiny. We have all the beautiful things big and powerful. We also have flowering trees whose umbel is one huge flower that moves like a fan in the gentle breeze. Everything is pointing upwards and a wonderful light shines down on everything and illuminates houses and gardens, making their flowers even more colorful. It is a wonderful atmosphere, a wonderful place. And they are all spiritual brothers and sisters here who have earned such spiritual merit in life that they are allowed to live in this beautiful world. I told you that many apartments are built into this mighty rock building. But on the ground floor everything is open except for the back, and anyone can walk through. There are no paneling or windows like you have. It is a very large hall, and all around there are pillars between which you can walk. In this hall all kinds of interesting things are on display that can be purchased by the spirit brothers and sisters. As I have been informed about them, I will try to tell you and explain them too. The houses that were built on both sides above the street are also all inhabited. These spirit brothers and sisters all go about their occupations, and indeed outside their homes. They are deceased people who have already gone through their purification and have then been led here. They are all those who said goodbye to the earth not long ago and only had to go through a short period of purification. They are those who have already paid visits to relatives and acquaintances of spirit brothers and sisters. Now they are temporarily housed in these houses and have started an activity from here that is of use to their spiritual life. After the spirit brothers and sisters had moved into all these beautiful houses, spirits of God walked along this street and invited the new arrivals in a loud voice to come into the big house to look around for their reward. Many still seemed shy or were almost afraid of the noble angel figures in the midst of this splendor that was unfamiliar to them. So the angelic beings had to walk up and down the street repeatedly and encourage the new arrivals, "Come and find out about your reward that awaits you." The call was heard and these beings shyly went to the windows and looked over the big wall down into the street. Then a few brave ones made a start. They went out into the street, and this gradually encouraged others too, but some always stayed behind. They had to be persuaded to go to the big house to find out about their reward. This meant the reward from heaven for their meritorious life, an extra reward. When they saw the first returning with gifts, those who remained behind were encouraged to leave. Some of them now became curious and wanted to know what reward awaited them. My task was as follows. I was instructed to position myself at the entrance to the hall. Everyone who entered had to walk past me and offer me their hand in greeting. As I greeted them, I saw how many merits they had. Before I was entrusted with this task, I was instructed in all the details. At first, a spirit of God was at my side, when I was not yet able to judge flawlessly and justly. But I learned it over time and I have been carrying out this task for a long time. It also gives me special joy. When I greeted the new arrivals, I saw different colors in their soul image. Their merits were recorded in colors and numbers, and according to these colors and numbers I had to give them a small corresponding tablet that contained the same colors and numbers that they carried in their soul. With this tablet they could then enter the hall. I would also like to mention what these color and number tablets looked like. There were some with very simple, modest colors that did not shine particularly brightly. But the colors were dressed in shapes. They were diagonals, stripes, checks, circles and all kinds of other shapes. When I had passed the apprenticeship of cognition and had the knowledge to understand which tablet I had to give to the individual beings, it was no longer difficult for me. I simply had to hand them the same numbers and colors. So they received the certificate from me with which they could collect their reward. In the spiritual world, you can get by without money. There is no money like that which humans have. How such signs come about is explained as follows. Every being has its own particular vibrations, and they produce colors. These colors are bright, particularly colorful, or modest, depending on the case. In the spiritual realm, these vibrations are converted into numbers. And it was the case that all the inhabitants of this spiritual plane belonged together, but not all had reached the same stage of development, the same colors. They differed from one to the other. So I was able to give each of them the color chart that corresponded to them. The beings themselves could not make this determination. They looked curiously at the color charts that I gave them. Then they were received by another ascending spirit being, who looked at the charts and led them to a place in the hall, which is very large. There were many different things lying there, starting with very simple items of clothing, a scarf, for example, to very expensive spiritual garments. There were colorful belts, bracelets and much more. In this way, one could show the color charts to the spirit brothers and sisters standing by. And then the person entering was led to the place where the things to which he was entitled were. They had all come from the earthly world not so long ago and were mostly still wearing their modest garments, with which they had been clothed when they had opened their spiritual eye. They had received transitional clothing, so to speak, and should now be allowed to choose more beautiful clothes according to their merits in life. They had already been taught to the extent that the external appearance of a spirit being also plays a role, because the elevation of a spirit can be determined by its appearance. The elevated, spiritually advanced person not only has a harmonious appearance, but his clothing is also well groomed. The others still wear the spiritual equivalent of their earthly clothes. These people then have to realize that when you reach a higher level in the spiritual world, you wear completely different clothes than people on Earth today. For example, male beings are very concerned about a noble appearance, as the noble Greeks and Romans once were. They also want to wear such clothes, because the type of clothes they wore in their earthly life no longer appeals to them. They would not have made any effort to wear such clothes. But the type of those noble clothes with all the accessories appealed to even the men. So they too were very curious to find out what they could acquire. I must also say that before they made their choice, they had the opportunity to look around the great hall to see all the precious items that could be acquired. No one knew for sure what they would be awarded. Everyone thought about their lives again. Those of a modest nature did not expect that a precious object could fall to them. Others, however, believed that their merits would be so highly valued that they could definitely expect one of the finest garments. So there were surprises as well as disappointments. But people took their time with this deal, if you can put it that way. They had received their numbers and color chart and now knew what they could choose. Some were very picky and did not decide on anything straight away. Those who thought they would now get such a precious spiritual garment were disappointed, but instead they were led to a table, to a display where only modest things could be seen, and they were told, "You can have this object for now, you can really improve your appearance with this headband for your head." And so the disappointment was great because they did not get everything that they saw on others. But then someone was advised, "You don't need to take the ring now, because you can still earn more merit in the spiritual world and maybe get something more valuable in return." So they let themselves be instructed and returned along the long street to their house and discussed at length with the other people in the house whether it would be advisable to choose the ring or the belt or the scarf, since this would make them look better, or whether they should rather work hard to earn more merit, for which they could get something more valuable than just a ring, belt or scarf. The decision should be left to each individual. Many had consulted a spirit of God, "What should I do? Should I take what is due to me, or should I first earn something extra?" The spirits of God had given some good advice. They are happy to guide these people who have returned home to where they can earn more merit. So some decide to do more first. They put on the garment they want in their minds and find out what they have to do to get to this more precious thing. So some courageously go into this spiritual work. But if it is a great treasure, they are told that it would take a long time to reach this goal, that they would have to leave this house and move to another level to do the work from there. So the decision is up to the residents themselves. Some choose something beautiful and believe that this will increase their reputation. Others wait. They want to earn more merit first. I would like to say that I have had the joy of seeing such spiritual brothers and sisters dressed in precious garments, as they are worn in the spiritual world, comparable to those that were once worn by the noble Greeks and Romans. And with joyful pride the brothers and sisters left this huge building and returned to their homes. Others returned with more modest gifts, only with a better belt, a scarf, a ring or something similar. Still others with a colored band that they had wrapped around their arms or legs to resemble the angels, but they probably suspected that it would take a lot to become like angels. But through this they felt that they belonged to the angels, to the higher spiritual world. I experienced all of this, how these spirit brothers and sisters came and went from my house, how they walked up and down the street. And when the beautifully dressed ones returned to their house, they were greeted with cheers and joy by their fellow residents. Those who were able to live there had long since overcome envy. Such things were no longer known here. People helped each other to acquire possessions more quickly so that their wishes could be fulfilled more quickly. They had discussed at length what to choose and what to do. So, from house to house, a happy and harmonious life prevailed everywhere. And yet they were very different in their development. In any case, all the residents of these houses had the opportunity to achieve great earnings in a relatively short time. They were also encouraged by each other to achieve great things in order to acquire these possessions. From time to time, people also gathered in the large square inches front of the enormous house. Heavenly beings from higher levels brought robes and jewelry with them, and full of joy they spread them out in front of the spirit brothers and sisters who lived here. And the angels of God often explained in which levels these splendors were made. Because all of this had to be made. It is not as people believe, that in the spiritual realm you can only wish or you only need to speak a word and what you want will be there immediately. These precious garments had to be made. Yes, the spiritual fabrics had to be woven. It is therefore entirely spiritual material. I would like to give you an explanation on this, because it is difficult for you humans to believe this. You simply cannot grasp it and cannot imagine that such a thing exists. All we can say is, everything that has to be processed and produced by you, must also be processed and produced in the spiritual world, as long as you need and want these things. All material that is available to you, whatever it may be, has its spiritual origin, because everything is just spiritually condensed matter. This substance is therefore also present in the purely spiritual realm, and this purely spiritual material is also processed in the spiritual world. There, too, it is necessary to possess it. You need it for spiritual life just as you need it as a human being in condensed matter. Just as humans need the coarse, condensed form, these things made of subtle matter are necessary in the spiritual realm. What you possess is also present in the spiritual realm, be it clothes, shoes and the many other things you have to beautify your appearance. But with us you cannot acquire all these beautiful things with money or by barter. In the spiritual world, the price for this is love, the services you have to render, it is all the virtues with which you perform a service to your neighbor. In this way you contribute something to the higher life, and everyone is rewarded through their elevated thinking, through their devotion to the divine and its affirmation. A vibration is generated in them, which in turn produces colors and forms these numbers. This marks the spirit brothers and sisters, and one can see what is to be given to them. In this way, everyone quite obviously displays their spiritual development. Lower spirit beings who have not been taught about this cannot see it because their vibrations are not such that they can observe it. A spirit being who carries out an activity like mine must be taught in every detail what this form, number or color means. One must also be trained in this. Every spirit being carries the mirror of itself around with it, and that is the wonderful thing, because through devotion, spiritual affirmation or negation, each one draws its own reflection. This is just for general instruction, because you often find it difficult to believe these facts. Thus the angels of God, who showed all the splendors in the large, open space, had at the same time explained where it all came from, who had worked on the richly decorated garments, who had forged the bracelets and armbands, who had made the precious stones polished, who had used them, and many other things were explained. It is always a great joy for the spirit brothers and sisters living here to be informed about all of this. They then go to the levels they can reach and to those spirit brothers and sisters and compliment them on their achievements. In this way they also bring joy to these artistic spirit brothers and sisters. There is also a lot of activity on this long street at times, especially when many of these precious things are brought here. And occasionally deserving returnees take all of these beautiful things away again, so that new ones have to be brought. Spirit brothers and sisters also move away again, and it is the case that new spirit brothers and sisters then come and are entitled to beautiful things through their merits. So all of these things must always be present in this large house so that they can be given some of them at their request. Well, dear brothers and sisters, I hardly believe that even if you try to escape from your earthly plane in spirit, you can get a true idea of this beautiful place, of all the might that can be seen here. For I have told you how mighty these ever-blooming trees are that are here, how magnificent the gardens are, the view into these expanses and how wonderful the atmosphere and the light are here. All of this is hard to describe to you, not even the extent of it and the size. They are all spirit brothers and sisters who have earned such merit through their lives that they are allowed to live in this beautiful world. And even if they are still undecided at first and cannot find their way, they will soon come to the point where their wish is fulfilled and they can acquire these precious garments that make them like the angels who are so finely dressed. In these fragrant garments they make such a harmonious and loving impression on all spirit beings. And who wouldn't want to become like an angel, not just in their nature, but in their whole figure, in their elegant stride, in these harmonious movements, in these elegant garments. So everyone who lives in this wonderful place has only one wish, to be dressed like the angels who take you by the hand when you entered the spiritual world and the spiritual eye has opened, where you can admire them and say, "You are so beautiful, you come from such a beautiful world. How great must be the happiness and harmony where you live, There can only be peace. And just as all these brothers and sisters had to acquire their beautiful garments and objects, I too had to strive for them. I had to strive and work hard first so that I could then take on this beautiful activity. And so much was all has been credited to me. So I too once went to the entrance to this hall, shyly held out my hands to the spirit who was receiving me and asked him to give me the certificate that would enable me to collect the reward. And I too was well advised to do something extra so that I could then acquire the most beautiful garment. Now it has become my task, which I carry out there, to receive those spirit brothers and sisters, greet them and give them the color chart so that they can look at their reward or collect it. Of course I do not have to carry out this activity all the time. I also have the option of walking along this long street, in the opposite direction from the mighty house. Because there is no passage through this house to the other side. I have already said that the street leads steeply up to this mighty rock into which this house is built. You have to climb down from there first and then walk along the flat street. Then you pass through many valleys, towns and villages, pass many houses and find tasks everywhere that you can complete to increase your own reward. So I live happily and wish you, dear brothers and sisters, that you too can come to this place, for which you will only find words of admiration for all the wonderful and mighty things that will stand before you. Now, dear brothers and sisters, I am returning to my beautiful world. May God's blessing accompany you. May you remain strong, and whoever is not yet strong, may become so in faith in the spiritual world. Remember that everything that you can grasp with your hands is only condensed. We in our world have it in a subtle form. That world should one day make you happy. I wish you that in the name of Jesus Christ. Greetings from God. Experience report of the ascending spirit being Karen by mediator Beatrice Brunner in the hall on Munchhaldenstrasse, Zurich. Template, first published in the magazine Geistige Welt. Headline, next case. June 7, 1967. Jacob, the afterlife experience of a rich, but unforgiving landowner. How hardness of heart can be softened in the afterlife and the soul can be filled with love and understanding for one's neighbor. Control spirit. God bless you. Dear brothers and sisters, a spirit brother by the name of Jacob speaks to you. May God bless you this hour. God bless you. Jacob, God bless you. My dears, my name is Jacob. In my human life I owned a property and accordingly I also had my employees. I did not always behave correctly towards them, because my main concern was to increase my property and my possessions, and so I pushed my people to work. Their pay must not have been so good either, otherwise I would have fared better after my entry into the afterlife. So I now want to tell you about my ascent in the afterlife. I want to tell you how it went for me. As I have emphasized, the main thing for me in my earthly life was what brought me benefit and profit. I did not ask whether this had happened in a legal way, I only wanted to see my benefit, my profit. I was religious and believed in God, but I had no idea whatsoever about an afterlife. Then I believed that after death it was definitely over, that there was no continued life, but I did not think much about it. I was all the more astonished when I opened my spiritual eye. A beautiful figure met me and explained, "You are now dead to the world, but you live on as a spirit. There is no death, you have only laid aside your body." Then I could see my parents from a distance, but I could not speak to them. I felt tired because I had suffered a great deal. Now this figure told me that I would now receive exactly what I deserved. I could not show any great intellectual gains. They rejected what I thought could be credited to me. I was always accused of not being lenient with my people, of demanding too much of them and of being unreasonable. By demanding too much I had caused suffering among those people. Now I too had to bear some of this suffering. I should experience for myself what it means to work hard and to be oppressed by the environment. I was led into the interior of a mountain to such a lonely place. I did not have the strength or the interest to look around. I simply let everything happen. I felt like a stranger and was dependent on the help of others. Immediately they demanded work from me. I was led into the interior of the mountain. I was amazed that such a thing even existed. If I had had any idea of the world that was supposed to open up to the deceased after death, I had a different idea. But as I said, I was such a stranger in the world beyond, and I was actually amazed. There were many things in front of me that were so closely related to everything I had left behind and had to do with as a human being. So I was amazed that these mountains existed and that people had to work inside these mountains. I then thought, do you really have to work to earn a living? But I soon came to the realization through my own experience that there was no pay here and that people only demanded work. In my human life I had demanded work from others, and now they were demanding it from me. Inside this mountain I looked around to see what was being done there. I was later able to determine that around 50 spirit brothers and sisters, that's what I'll call them now, were working to break stones out of this mountain. The tools seemed very simple to me. I then looked around and saw that everyone was hard at work and not having any conversation. Everyone was working diligently, and so I thought to myself, now you too will have to work in this way. But I also noticed that 5 very nicely dressed beings were near these other spirit brothers and sisters and, as I immediately realized, were doing nothing else than supervising them. Each of these 5 had 10 spirit brothers and sisters under their command. They watched everyone at their work and reprimanded them if they weren't working conscientiously and precisely. They didn't stand around, but were, as I later found out, the guards. They had everyone under control. There was no shirking work, they had to work hard. I was then led to a well. I had to draw the water that was there from the depths. There seemed to be a spring inside this mountain and also above it. I had to be amazed. But soon I gave up my amazement altogether, because I had the feeling that I was living as a human being. So I had to work in a strange place, where I had no property and nothing, where I was a stranger and had to be happy to be accepted by the others. So I was no longer amazed, neither by the beautiful, strange stone nor by the water that came from the depths of this mountain and that I had to draw up in a vessel. I had been provided with as many cups as there were spirit brothers and sisters who had to work. I must also mention that the atmosphere inside the mountain was by no means pleasant. I felt it was very hot, but it seemed that the other spirit brothers and sisters felt the same, because those who had to work there suffered from thirst. I had the task of offering each person some water in turn. I took these cups and handed them out, but I didn't have the practice to do that, especially at the beginning. Now, when I approached the individual, he made it clear to me that I should speed up my work a little, because they were thirsty and were used to being able to drink more. The spirit brothers and sisters who were there, who were inside the mountain, did not all speak the same language, but I could understand what they had to say to me. Their looks were not friendly, but threatening, and their talk, which I could not understand either, was reproachful. So I had handed out these cups too slowly. It also seemed understandable to me that they had to suffer from thirst. Well, I did as well as I could, and of course I was also asked by these higher-ups, that is by these guards, to give this water to these working spirit brothers and sisters a little faster, because they said to me, you can see that they are suffering from thirst, because it is hot here. Yes, they had to work and still suffer from thirst and were therefore dependent on my skill in how quickly I could bring up the water and how quickly I could hand out these vessels for drinking. I was thirsty myself, too, but I didn't have to wait for my turn, because I had the advantage of being able to drink as much as I wanted. However, I hated all the work I had to do, and I didn't like these malicious looks, this talk and all the fuss from these spirit brothers. I was used to something different, and now I had to be a water carrier for these spirit brothers. They broke out the stones and had to take them to a place designated by the guards. They also seemed to make calculations regarding the size and shape of these stones, and I noticed that one or the other had the skill to actually produce this size. What was to happen to these stones did not interest me. I was just deeply unhappy. I thought of my parents and hoped that they would free me. I had seen them from afar, but I had not spoken to them. My parents and especially my mother were pious, so I wanted to believe that they would pray for me and that they could somehow free me.